children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, everybody, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day.
Good evening and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show, everybody. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. What an exciting show we have. Let me just tell you what we have coming up. We're going to take a look at the evolution of the civil rights movement, starting with the Montgomery bus boycott, which 60 years ago would have been in its second day. NBC is airing a live production, as you know, of The Wiz tonight. So let me ask you, which one of those characters most closely resembles you? Are you a little bit of Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion? We have a marriage and family therapist, Charles Simpson, joining us to take a look at what those personalities represent and kind of help you figure out where you fit in the mix. And how's your sweet potato pie? We're going to tell you about a sweet potato pie contest honoring one of Arkansas's most beloved civil rights activists. But first to the big story. The big news this evening comes from San Bernardino, California, where a husband and wife killed 14 people during a holiday party for the San Bernardino County Health Department. Saeed Farouk worked at that health department, and authorities now say he was radicalized and in touch with people being investigated by the FBI for international terrorism. That investigation, as you know, is still ongoing. 60 years ago, the big story in America, though, was the Montgomery bus boycott. Dr. Martin Luther King, a young minister, organized the boycott when seamstress Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white man. The boycott started December 2nd, 1955. It sparked, as you know, the American Civil Rights Movement, and it made Rosa Parks the mother of that movement. The Village Celebration traveled to New York City to view Mrs. Parks' archival collection before it was purchased recently by the son of billionaire Warren Buffett.
This is one of the most significant bodies of material that has been preserved in our nation's history. And to initially be invited to her home where these objects were on her walls, in her desk drawers, you had to pinch yourself and say, are we really here? The bottom line when you go through this material is that it reveals a far more complex, far stronger woman than I think anybody has ever imagined. On a personal level, I, like everyone I know, grew up thinking here was this wonderful woman who one day did a very noble and important deed, giving one the belief that she lived for 15 minutes on that bus and that was it. When indeed you can see through her writings that she had set her mind as early as age 12 to changing the world around her, to ridding it of the oppression her family and friends were living under, to undo the injustices of the world. And she, in a way, was like a volcano who was building and building and building, finally erupted on that day on the bus. But then, lest it be believed that she sort of fell back into the shadows, never to be heard from in any serious way again, you can see through her writings that the well-known Montgomery bus boycott that changed things monumentally, in many ways were orchestrated by her. Her writings reveal how she's putting down instructions for the people of Montgomery how to comport themselves. You look at objects, and how could you not be inspired by the Presidential Medal of Freedom or the Congressional Gold Medal, the two highest honors you can receive in this nation, or to be sort of equally thrilled by the letters from second graders that show, a love for this woman. And there are certainly charming objects her work as a seamstress. Her handwritten recipe for Featherlite peanut butter pancakes. But as a body of material, how can you answer the question of what do we believe the most important material to be, hence our favorite, would be her writings, because that's what reveals so much. Here we can see the backside of some of the paper that she's writing upon. And this one is the Youth Council of the NAACP in Montgomery, although this isn't dated because there's nothing written on it. You can just tell approximately when it is by virtue of the fact that there's no area code on the phone number, which is always a sure sign that you're dealing with material from the 1950s or earlier. Lest anyone believe that she had instant access to a Kinko's right on the corner, that wasn't the case. She would grab any piece of paper she could get her hands on, many of which came in the form of mimeographed pages from her local church in Montgomery, or handouts by the local fledgling chapter of the NAACP in that area, and just take them and write on the back sides of them, which show exactly where she was and when she was writing these things. But somehow there was this sense that history was unfolding, and people had the good sense to do just that, to save her things. Mother of the civil rights movement? Absolutely. Someone who gave birth to the movement and then watched and helped it grow. A true mother.
And so 60 years ago today, Rosa Parks sat at the center of a movement that will change the direction of America. That was the curator of the Rosa Parks Archival Collection you heard talking. And as I mentioned, that collection was recently purchased by the son of billionaire Warren Buffett. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the evolution of the civil rights movement. How have things changed? So make sure you stay with us. You're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show, and I'm Vicki Newton.
Studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Because I don't know who I'm talking to, I'll just be candid and clear. If you've fallen into the criminal justice system and it appears that your past criminal record is dragging you down, it is possible to get it all cleared. For the first time, you now have a real way to learn how to clear your adult and juvenile criminal records yourself. Many people believe that once you've made a criminal mistake and get into the criminal system, that you're ruined for life, that your criminal past will drag you down forever. That's just not true anymore. The criminal history that you made in the past can be cleared if you know how. You can learn how to do it yourself. Find out if you qualify. This information will show you how. Get your copy of Cleared today at CLEARED.com. That's Cleared. CLEARED.com. CLEARED.com, and start enjoying the rest of your life.
All right, listen up.
Streaming to a worldwide audience with a local appeal.
Are y'all ready?
Indigo Television is here.
All right, let's break it down. Let's break it down.
It's an internet-based television network that includes sports, entertainment, talk, politics, and education.
I'm Kofi Adjopa, founder and CEO of Indigo Television. Entertainment everywhere.
Our goal is to become a major source of family-oriented entertainment on the internet. Check us out right now. Indigo TV. Indigo.tv.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. No doubt you have seen the protests in Chicago following the news about Laquan McDonald and the year-long wait of the Chicago Police Department and its prosecutors to file charges against that police officer who fired 16 bullets into Laquan McDonald. We have watched the protests, some peaceful, some intense, sweep the entire country, though, since the shooting deaths of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Dontre Hamilton, Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, the Charleston Nine, and the list goes on and on. Dr. Julianne Malvo is a respected voice in this dialogue on social justice. She is an author, she's a syndicated columnist, and recently she and I talked about the evolution of the civil rights movement from the days of Dr. King and Mrs. Parks to Black Lives Matter.
The civil rights movement has manifested itself different ways at different times and from different groups. If you want to look at the leadership that Dr. King provided and the church community, these folks were revolutionaries, but in a very quiet and proper way. Think about a Dr. Dorothy Irene Hite. You almost never saw her without a hat on. She would march with her hat on and her gloves. She was transmitting the fact that she was a lady in addition to everything else. Now, if you fast forward to maybe Black Panther days, you look at an Angela Davis, you look at, you know, I'm a little bit behind it, but folks like, we were not trying to be prim and proper. I mean, our thing was to be the antithesis of prim and proper. Big fro, short skirts, fist in the air. I mean, same, you know, basically same thing, but the with the youthfulness of, we are not gonna accept the status quo either in philosophy or in presentation. And then you began, as you move forward, to get something much more muted, where civil rights movement seemed to manifest more differently in politics. Well, we saw most of our activism then around Reverend Jackson's run for office, around various and sundry runs for office. And I think we've come, very, very quiet period where no one had anything to say, or if they said it, they said very, very gingerly. Again, oftentimes putting our power behind one person as opposed to the community. But I think what's exciting right now is what the young people are doing, the Black Lives Matter movement, which kind of takes you back to that Panther era at some level. Young people not minding blocking traffic. A gentleman told me, he said, this is just so inconvenient. I said, well, you know, racism is inconvenient. Of course, he was melanin challenged, and so that, but racism is inconvenient. These folks don't care. And it's not, again, one of the things we all have to remember when we talk about movements is that 20% of the people have always done 80% of the work. So when I say the young people, it certainly is not all the young people, but it's many of the young people. What we've seen manifest, I think the goals have always been the same, but the needs have sometimes been more acute, and the manifestations have always been different.
Dr. Julianne Malvo giving us her opinion on the evolution of the civil rights movement. So where do you fall on that continuum? Appropriate or what we're seeing more of today, assertive? Think about that. What's your style when it comes to protesting the inequities in our society? Here's another question. We're just full of questions tonight, aren't we? Are you planning to watch The Wiz on NBC, a live production? That's a mighty ambitious project. When we come back, though, we take a look at our personalities and who represents us on that yellow brick road. Don't you go away.
Do you have a minute? How about 30? Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life, too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships, too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
It's the G Now Show, Christian Republic brand. It's the 11th hour, and we hear the cry of our generation. Let's come together, real topics, real people, real conversations, hard-to-hard issues, and speak truth to power and break chains off of this generation.
It's your boy, Young Chris. We got Trey in here, man. We got Terry. We got Dre. We got everybody here. We in the house, man. We're going to talk about everything, whatever you want to talk about.
The LGBT topic, we ain't going to run from it. Islamic Nation topic, we ain't going to run from it. Church. Churches, preachers, pastors, and members in the congregation, the young thugs on the streets, the clubs, whatever, it don't matter. We're going into every environment.
All while we count down the top five greatest hits. Join us on Join That Radio every Monday at 6 o'clock.
We ain't talking about the next generation. We ain't talking about the generation to come, even after that generation. But this is the generation now, right now, we're talking about now faith. G Now Fixing, Now Solutions to addressing now problems. That's what we're about. The G Now Show. JordanNetRadio.com.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association.
And keep Arkansas beautiful.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Radio Show. Okay, do you have your shoes? Are you ready to click those heels together and get back to Kansas? How many of you are fans of The Wizard of Oz? I plan to watch NBC's production of The Wiz tonight. What about you? Joining us tonight to take a look at The Wizard of Oz, we're going to study this fairy tale that is so popular and has been since it was first published in 1900 here in America. Charles Simpson is a marriage and family therapist, and thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have a little bit of fun.
Yes, we are.
With The Wizard of Oz and this yellow brick road.
Yeah.
What is the life lesson in this story, and why do we like it so?
First of all, I really commend you with the creativity, with being able to, challenge people to really take a look into themselves and to be able to take a look into these characters. But it really just starts a conversation regarding what do I need to do to look within myself, to challenge myself to become, you know, the characters at the end of the show, you know, and it's all about that journey, how they start off when Dorothy first find them, and then just taking that journey in their lives to eventually get to a place of being able to say, wow, I have these things, or I've been able to overcome these challenges. But when I work with clients, it's really about a holistic perspective. How can we challenge an individual that's sitting in front of me to really focus on the mind, the body, and the soul?
So let's start at the top. Dorothy is living out there in Kansas with Auntie M and Uncle Henry, I think, and a cyclone comes along and sweeps her away.
Her
she
out
and
of
her dog,
zone.
Toto.
She's out of her comfort
out of,
zone.
Oh, there
exactly.
You go. She's out of her comfort zone.
Exactly.
Wow. And so when we are out of our comfort zones, a lot of times we're completely lost.
We are lost, and that was pretty much the journey, you know, and with her finding the characters and just really...
Let's start with the Tin Man. I don't remember who she encountered first, but there's the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion, who, oh my gosh, he's always so funny to
me. Right. And so we'll break those down. Just looking at the Tin Man, who was desiring a heart. And when I look at the heart, it's really about the body. You know, what do I need to do as far as my God's temple to make sure that I'm taking care of myself physically? You know, it's hard to go along a healthy journey if you're really battling with diabetes or high blood pressure, or if you're just not eating healthy foods. It really kind of begins to impact other areas in your lives. And so what can you do in order to really improve that heart, to really improve that physical man, to make sure that those other components in life are just as healthy? But that's your challenge for the Tin Man. Are you that Tin Man, or are you the Scarecrow that's needing a brain?
And I don't even want to discuss that.
and the brain is just that mental strength, you know. And when you look at the world today, a lot of people ask me, what are my thoughts with the shootings and just kind of the tragedies that are occurring? And that is, there's just a lot of mental strength that even in our profession we do have to focus on and better understand. But how can we take individuals through a mental journey to really get them to be able to build the confidence with being able to manage anger, or to be able to deal with any type of mental disorders such as anxiety or depression? Mm-hmm. What types of steps do you need to take in order to really just strengthen yourself in that area?
As Joyce Meyer says and has a book, the mind is the battlefield. So that mind, our mind, really does need to be strong.
You have to strengthen that mind. And really, the ultimate goal is to be able to become a little bit of the Scarecrow, a little bit of the Tin Man, a little bit of the Cowardly Lion toward the end of the journey.
Who is just, to me, kind of funny. I mean, he's so easily frightened, but life can be scary. I completely understand why sometimes he could not find his courage. And I think life presents many challenges sometimes where you don't believe you have the courage needed.
But where's that spiritual strength? And that's what the courage is all about. In the times of trials and tribulations, where do you go to? You know, and you have to find that place of, if it's a spiritual growth or even just mindfulness or just doing whatever it takes to take positive steps, putting yourself around positive people, reading Joyce Meyer's and things of that sort. But what type of journey are you taking to really build that soul?
That yellow brick road.
It's all about the road.
It really is a great symbol of a journey.
It is. And when I was researching this, when you presented the topic, I was just like, wow, I can start really using this in my sessions, because the analogy is real, and it really can challenge individuals to be able to understand that it's a journey. And just like through the beginning of that movie toward the end, all of them face their trials and their tribulations. And you know, the ultimate goal is, how can we really strive to become that Dorothy, to really encompass all three of those components?
And go full circle, because she ended up back home. But back to your point about Dorothy, who was she?
Now, the Dorothy, to me, in that picture, was kind of like the coach. She was like the counselor in the movie that was encouraging them when they started going through their hard times. And each one of them throughout the movie will experience some challenges that will require them to strengthen that mind, to strengthen that body, and to strengthen the soul. But Dorothy was just that positive influence that was just able to take their hand and say, you all will be okay. Just follow me and we'll all be okay, be all right. And in life, you know, the life lesson is that we don't know all the answers. You know, we're going to come across challenges in our lives,
so
whether it's in a marriage, whether it's parenting, dealing with the aging parent. There's going to be moments where we won't know the answers. And in that time, will you put yourself in a position to be able to continue to stay positive and go in a direction that you can really get to a place where you can be okay with things.
And they helped people along the way.
Yeah, they did. And you know, your light begins to shine when you can find this balance. And, you know, just like I was speaking with my mom today, you just begin to become a testimony for other people when you are able to get to the end of this journey and tell your story from where you've come. But in those moments, you just become a light for other people. You become a motivation for other people to see. And so, you know, as individuals watch this movie tonight, they'll really start processing these things that I'm speaking of. But if you just put yourself in one of those character shoes, you know, if it's the mental strength that you're looking for or striving for, or if it's the physical strength or the spiritual strength, put yourself in one of those carriages and just really examine how that character takes that journey and, you know, how they become to gain the strength toward the end of that movie. But I love this analogy. This was a
well, you know, great. That must be why it's been around for so long, because it is a timeless story. And that is the challenge for us humans, getting through the journey.
Yeah, and man, that's an underlining message. I've never really just broke down the Wizard of Oz in this way, but you know, it connects with us for some reason. And you know, we really connect to characters or people that really relate or send a message to us. And you know, that could be a good example of why it has
such staying power. I mean, it really has a lot of staying power. I was reading that they sold out of the initial 250,000 copies within months. The story just caught on, and here we are reading it and watching productions, 115 years later?
It's all about that journey. Everyone wants that happy ending. And, you know, just to the listeners, what will your happy ending be? You know, when will you really take a look in that mirror and really just examine the mind, the body, and the soul, and just really just ask God to just open your eyes to, you know, what direction do I need to take in order to really be able to get to the end of this journey the best way that I can?
Speaking of the cowardly lion, it takes courage to engage in self-examination. So how do you recommend we begin that inventory, personal inventory?
And that is the ultimate question, is taking that first step. You know, there's clients that I deal with that has dealt with abuse on all types of levels, just dealt with just heartaches, just, you know, abandonment. I mean, you just name it. Those are some scary dynamics for people to really really just bring out in the open and really just start to connect with it. And that is the first step. If you have a challenge with being able to sit down and just pull the blanket, pull the blanket up and really start looking at what's under that blanket, or a lot of people are just not ready for that. But the challenge is, what steps do I need to take in order to face these fears? What steps do I need to take to make sure that I am able to say, you know, God is trying to send me in a certain direction, and I know I have to start that journey sooner or later.
Because a cyclone will appear when you least expect it, and it'll sweep you from Kansas someplace that you really didn't expect.
And I want to say this. We don't want to wait for the traumatic event to occur. We don't want to wait for the cyclone to take us out of that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, my phone does not ring until that traumatic event has occurred. And in those moments, people are just yearning to say, hey, take me through this journey so that I can make sure that I don't continue to experience these traumas in my life. And You know, oftentimes things are just triggered, you know, throughout some an individual's life's journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the signs that maybe you can go and really explore if there's something deeper that is
that you
hidden
think
in
is
the
on
unconscious.
The horizon.
And you just have to just challenge yourself to say that I'm willing to take that journey to face these fears and really get to the end of that yellow brick road.
Mm. We're going to ease on down the road, Charles Simpson.
You're not going to ease down it, but you'll
no,
get on down it.
No, you may bump down it, right? Well, thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate
those insights.
No problem.
NBC airing the live production tonight of The Wiz. We'll be right back here on the Village Celebration Radio Show.
Recent studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Here's a quick tip from Hansel's Cookin' Vegan. Rev up your metabolism by increasing protein and fiber intake. Increase your daily activity by walking, running, or dancing. Read labels. Look for items with high fiber, low sodium, carbs, and sugars. Limit fast foods. Self-prepared meals help to limit fat and sodium intake. Combine these tips to avoid excessive weight gain. Get more healthy tips at Hansel's CookinVegan.com. Change your diet to change your life.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
We are talking about NBC's live production of The Wiz. We just had marriage and family therapist Charles Simpson joining us to take a look at the personalities traveling that yellow brick road. And now we hear from Kenny Leon, who is the director of tonight's production.
My film is art, theater is life, television is furniture. I don't really mean that because I do a lot of television as well, but yeah, I do. Sort of, that's the way it is. My name is Kenny Leon. I am an actor sometimes, a director, and sometimes a producer. I think theater will be around for a long time because, you know, when a baby comes in the world, the first thing you do is try to tell it a story, you know. And when you're at live theater, it's like you're breathing the same air as those performers on stage. You have an impact on what's happening on stage. But I started out as an actor. I was born on Miccosukee Road in Tallahassee, Florida, country boy. And it's like from Miccosukee Road to Broadway. And here I am today. Well, I always wear tennis shoes, you know, sort of honor my grandmother who passed away in 1991. You know, it sort of reminds me to stay grounded. So one year I went to the Tony's Island in a Ted Baker suit and had on some nice, you know, red tennis shoes. I can remember what event I went to by the tennis shoes I had on. Well, these days, most Broadway shows have to have a celebrity, a star, in order to run and make the money. That's mostly the case these days. What I try to do is balance it with a star and with other non-stars. When we're doing The Mountaintop, that's an important play that looks at the personal side of Dr. King. Well, you know, Samuel L. Jackson is playing Dr. King, and I'm directing. And the reason I was excited to do that was because I found that if you talk to a young person, you say, well, who's Dr. King? And they say, well, that was that civil rights guy. And I was like, no, that's not enough. You need to look at more deeply into what he was about. And I want the younger generation to come away from that saying, oh, wow, I like that cat. That wasn't like some big guy way up in the sky I can't touch. He was a man that loved people, that loved God. He was just a man that did some extraordinary things. And you know what? You can too. No, I mean, I think that I think Broadway is pretty diverse. I think that certainly there are more stories that you want to tell, but Broadway is a microcosm of America. I'm developing a musical with Todd Kryler on the life of Tupac Shakur. He had some beautiful music, beautiful words that really speak to all of us, but some of us tune him out. But I don't think it's about recreating a story where someone's trying to be Tupac. But let's have a story that is inspired by all his wonderful music. And now you're talking, that's very exciting to me. Nobody can be Tupac. Come on, that's like nobody can be, you know, I don't know, nobody can be Tupac. I've always, in the past, I looked up to people like August Wilson, the great August, great playwright, won 2 Pulitzer Prizes. And I said to a friend, I said, wow, man, you know, Lloyd Richards is not here any longer. August has passed away. You know, like, you know, who do I look up to? And the person said, no, you're the person that people are looking up to. And I was like, wow. And it hit me that I have a responsibility to the younger generation, especially those of us who want to find their passion in the arts. So that's where I'm at now. Like, how do you give back? How do you help young folks get to their dreams?
Well, he has assembled an amazing cast tonight for that live production of The Wiz. Back in a moment with The Village Verse.
Sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and UAMS.
remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
We are now turning our attention to one of my favorite segments in the Village Celebration Radio Show, and that is the Village Verse. Our guest minister tonight is Reverend Arlen Parham, who is the senior pastor at I'm a Part Missionary Baptist Church in West Memphis, Arkansas. He's also a chaplain in the Arkansas Department of Corrections, and he is my first cousin. In the interest of transparency, I have to tell you that. So, hello, Reverend Parham. I won't say Cousin Ken. How you doing?
Hello, Cousin Vicki. It's a blessing to be on the radio with you.
We appreciate you joining us. Where are we going tonight in the Word?
Yes, we're going tonight. We're going to go to the famous and that every Christian believer should have in their repertoire of scriptures, John 3:16.
Amen.
Because so many times we can get through the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season and get to going and finances and worries and trying to impress to where we lose sight of what the true meaning of is and what God has already prepared for us. Mm-hmm. And so John 3:16 comes to our mind for the village scripture tonight.
So.
And so, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
No. You go right ahead, Reverend Parham.
I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless this word from you. I pray that you'll give us strength, God, and give us your knowledge and wisdom, God. Speak from the heart tonight, God, so that we can bless those that are listening and those that are around. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this moment, God, and we really know that you are the blessing in our life, and you are the reason why we celebrate today. And we thank you, God, for everything you've done and all that you will do. For this we give you glory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so the scripture starts at John 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but I have everlasting life. One of the things that I like to look at when I search the scripture, I notice John 3:16, the verse itself has 25 words.
Mm-hmm.
12 of the words are on one side of the Son, and 12 of the words on the other side, which brings to our attention that it puts the Son directly in the middle. We believe that the Son is Jesus Christ. And so that lets us know that Christ should be the center of all. And everything we do as Christians, Christ should be the center of all. And definitely as we move into the Christmas season, we get ready to celebrate this time with family and friends, we always know that Christ should be in the center of it. And so one of the things that when I look at the scripture, I realize that this is the greatest gift ever that entered into the world.
Amen.
That is the gift of Jesus. Because the Bible once said that the wages of sin are death. But I think today that through Christ, through the gift that God has given us, we have eternal life. Jesus is the center, that bridge the gap between us and God and us and the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says there's no other name under heaven that is given known to man that we may be saved is by the name of Jesus. And then it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess. And so when we search the scriptures, we find that Jesus is all through, whether from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is the center of all, from the beginning to the end, before the beginning of time, and even when time ends, Jesus will still be there with the Father. So we thank God for this good and perfect gift that he's given to each and every one of us through Christ.
Amen.
Now, look at the scripture. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And for those that have pen and paper, I want you to write this down. For God so loved the world, point number one, God's love. And that's how we should love one another in a godly love. The Bible teaches us that we should love one another as God, as Christ has loved us. And that's how we show that we are his disciples. one of the greatest commandments is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. The second is like it unto that, is to love your neighbor as we love ourselves. And if we operate in the spirit of love, just as God has loved us, because God is love, and we operate in His spirit, because the spirit is production and produces love, we can see the violence can be changed in the world that we live in. The senseless things that are happening on our streets can be changed. We have love in our communities, and families can be pulled together. That's a powerful thing, that when we operate in the spirit of love. And so we realize that for God so loved the world, in spite of all the faults and failures and shortcomings, God loved us. Mm-hmm. He gives us grace and mercy, unmerited favor. What we couldn't buy, that we don't deserve, we couldn't live to the standard. But because of His love, He gives to us freely. And so today, as Christians, we challenge each other to operate in the godly love. This Christmas, receive the gift of love. Second, when I see that the Son in the Scriptures, it lets me know that God gave His Son. And point number two that we would like to share is, as this time comes near, every day we should practice a giving spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be willing to give to help those that are unfortunate. Give in an attitude that it is blessed to give and more blessed to give than to receive. And so we understand that the Bible lets us know that no matter what we put into the ground, if we will reap what we sow. And so we understand that if we have operate with a giving attitude, that's what it truly blesses at. And so when we are operating in the mode of giving, even as we're giving gifts, giving our love, it doesn't require a whole lot. All it requires is us giving our best.
Mm-hmm.
We can see God do the rest. And so as we focus on John 3:16, it teaches us to be givers. And so at Christmas time, when you give gifts and you give affection, then give your time and opportunity to those that are around you, understand that you're giving as God gives.
Amen.
Give out of love and respect, nothing in return,
mm-hmm.
but love.
Amen. That is a beautiful word as we move into December and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Arlen Parham, who is the senior pastor at I Am a Part Missionary Baptist Church and a chaplain for the Arkansas Department of Corrections. We have been blessed by your message.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
About 30. Just 30 minutes a day of exercise could save your life. And it just might change your family's life too. Just 30 minutes a day of the electric slide, the funky chicken, the mashed potato or Zumba can boost your brain power and improve circulation. Just 30 minutes a day of hula hooping, playing tag, riding bikes, or nature walks can reduce stress and help improve your relationships too. Just 30 minutes a day of basketball, jogging, playing double dutch, or jump rope can decrease your risk for all kinds of diseases, including stroke, diabetes, or heart disease. Doctors call it 30 minutes a day of exercise. Kids call it 30 minutes of playing. We call it 30 minutes of fun and making memories. Whatever you call it, let's move and make it a family affair. Choose a few fun activities to get your entire family moving. So drop the phone and give me 30. Drop the remote and give me 30. As Mama used to say, go outside and play. Brought to you by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission.
Because I don't know who I'm talking to, I'll just be candid and clear. If you've fallen into the criminal justice system and it appears that your past criminal record is dragging you down, it is possible to get it all cleared. For the first time, you now have a real way to learn how to clear your adult and juvenile criminal records yourself. Many people believe that once you've made a criminal mistake and get into the criminal system, that you're ruined for life, that your criminal past will drag you down forever. That's just not true anymore. The criminal history that you made in the past can be cleared if you know how. You can learn how to do it yourself. Find out if you qualify. This information will show you how. Get your copy of Cleared today at CLEARED.com. That's cleared. CLEARED.com. CLEARED.com. And start enjoying the rest of your life.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. It's time for our Village Doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall, joining us tonight. Dr. Di, how are you?
Miss Vicki, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know what? I have a question. And it seems like common sense. Double dipping. Uh-huh. You know, taking your chip, dipping it in the salsa, biting, then dipping again. Uh-huh. Study says it's a no-no.
It's a no-no if you've bitten off of it and if your hands aren't clean. You will not believe this, Vicki. I am actually standing at Acadian Village volunteering tonight, and I am still going to be on your show. How about that? That's
I am wonderful. So glad that you can multitask. I'm so glad that you are willing to multitask to help us out. Tell us what the village is. Acadian Village, what is it?
Acadian Village is in South Louisiana, first of all. It's in Lafayette, and it's a place that opens every Christmas, and you can come and enjoy the Christmas lights. We are volunteering with Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority tonight, and we have debutantes and tea girls who are volunteering their time giving back to the community.
That is excellent. So during this season of giving, as we just heard from Pastor Farham, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, and you all are living that model that Jesus showed us in giving and that God showed when he gave us his only begotten Son.
We are living proof of that as we volunteer and give back to our community.
Are you all eating chips and dip? And who is double dipping? Okay.
But we are waiting for hot chocolate. We're waiting for hot chocolate.
Well, just as long as each of you gets your own cup of hot chocolate.
Absolutely. But double dip, and I'll get to that. I mean, basically, you know, if you're sitting at a table with other people, you certainly don't want to take any type of appetizer, bite off of it, and dip it back in a sauce.
Do you find that a lot of people do that?
It's not. Oh, I know a lot of people do that.
Wow.
They do not do that. If you're with a group of people, the polite thing to do is to ask for your own saucer, and you put your dip and your chips on your own saucer. So if you double dip there, it's all on you.
Or your own bag of chips and your own jar of salsa. No, I'm kidding. That's if you're overindulging. But, you know, that is a good idea. Just take some salsa.
Table etiquette.
Take some salsa, put it on your saucer or your plate, and dip from there.
There you go. There you go. And anytime you're at a table with a group of people, you want to make sure that you have washed your hands anytime, regardless of whether you're by yourself or with a group of people. But cleanliness is next to godliness, so make sure your hands are clean, and that when you partake of something, you are not passing germs. Put it on your saucer. Don't bite off it. Off of it and put it back in the dip again.
Exactly, as we do know some people do. Is it a good
idea
to carry some of that hand sanitizer, especially during this time of year when we are so social, going from house to house and party to party and volunteering during this season of festivities? Do you need your hand sanitizer?
I always carry hand sanitizer in my purse. And I share it liberally with anyone who I'm sitting with if they don't have any. Most of us walk into a restaurant. If we have time to go to the restroom, wash our hands, great. But some people don't. And so, yes, carry a sanitizer with you.
All right.
And you can always ask the restaurant if they have any of those handy wet wipes clean your hands that way.
But you really have to be careful this time of year. Okay, we are not going to take any more of your time because you have so graciously stepped away from a prior commitment to talk with us. Have a great evening.
You.
And thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk with you next week, Dr. Dye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim. Relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Recent studies have shown that diabetes can be prevented, and the results are even greater with my patients over age 60. Losing a small amount of weight by getting some physical activity, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier has proven to be effective. Listen to the great results from one of my patients.
I had to learn how to change my way of eating because diabetes ran in my family, and I wanted to take control of it before I got it.
Having diabetes in your family and being overweight puts you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes. These risks increase with age, which is why it is important to take your first step today.
There was a time I could not go from my basement up to my bedroom, but now I can, and that means a lot to me.
It's not too late to prevent diabetes. Join my patients who are taking small steps and gaining big rewards.
For more information on how to prevent type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
So we are wrapping up our final segment of tonight's Village Celebration Radio Show. How about some sweet potato pie? Yeah, there's a sweet potato pie contest this Sunday in Little Rock. So if you are in any place other than Little Rock, you might want to book a flight or get in your car if you make a great sweet potato pie and drive to Little Rock. The contest is being held at the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center. So let me tell you why this is such a big deal. Say McIntosh, Robert Say McIntosh, is one of Arkansas's most beloved civil rights activists. Not only was he known for taking then-Governor Bill Clinton to task for allegations of racial injustice or lack of attention to marginalized segments of the population here in the state, but he was also widely known for baking an incredible sweet potato pie. So this contest is held every year in his honor, and only the best are allowed to participate. So if you make a mean sweet potato pie and everybody requests your sweet potato pie, you bring yours for Thanksgiving dinner, they call you to bring it to church or to work or over to a friend's house, bring your pie down to Arkansas at the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center this Sunday. So we are running out of time, and I need to get in front of a TV so I can see the live production tonight of The Wiz. Are you watching? Are you planning to watch? Everybody says social media will hum tonight with comments about The Wiz. Tell us what you think. Leave us a message on my personal Facebook page, Vicki Newton, or The Village Celebration. We're going to leave you tonight with Ease On Down the Road. And thank you for joining us for the Village Celebration Radio Show. We'll see you next week.
Joy Network. We are-